Ephesians chapter 5 here this evening, and it is already past 7:45, and so, again, I will not be long with the message tonight, and I did look back at some previous Thanksgiving messages, and I said that each one, and I averaged 47 minutes, I think, after I said that. I was like, really? Did I actually do that? I will not do that tonight. I'll do 48 minutes at least. Ephesians chapter 5. And I had, here they are. I got glasses everywhere, so I'm bound to find a pair somewhere. Ephesians chapter 5, just one verse we're going to look at here. And when it comes to being thankful, this is one of the toughest verses in the Bible when it comes to it. And I think it's a good one to go to right now and to focus on a truth that is in this verse when it comes to Thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do love you. Lord, I pray that you bless tonight. Lord, I pray that your word would be a help to the people. Lord, I pray that it would draw us closer to you. I pray that you would use it, Lord, please. Father, I pray if there's anyone in here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, we certainly pray that even through this message that they would come to Christ even tonight, repent and place their faith in him. Lord, we pray that you'd work. And I thank you for my church, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness that is here. We've heard in testimonies of so many faithful people and such an encouragement, Lord. And I thank you for them. And Lord, please bless and help us, Lord. Again, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to get to it. I'll focus for the main part of this message, and I'm going to try and keep this down to about 20 minutes. The message probably is closer to 40, 45-minute message, but I'm going to eliminate some and try to get to the main focus to what I want to get to, and that is, how do we give thanks in all things? And that certainly isn't an easy thing to do, but I want to try and help us to see, how is that possible? Is there something biblical that we can do where we can give thanks for all things? We certainly live in a day when complaining and ingratitude, especially in our nation, the Western culture, that's almost a part of it. You know, the me first generation, you can see the selfies, everything's expected. And with that, out the window goes an attitude that the gratitude is not there. That spirit of thankfulness is not there. And there's a danger with that. I'm going to talk about that more in just a minute. Again, I think we fail to see the blessing of God in our life so many times. I think we're too busy looking at what we don't have instead of what we do have. That's always destructive in your life. And it will remove any attitude that you might have had, any character trait of gratitude that you might have had in your life. I think we can get too busy thinking the grass is greener on the other side. Again, instead of focusing on the blessings that God has for you. The devil wants you to focus on what you don't have instead of what you do have. He knows the power that is behind a Christian or a person that has that character trait of thankfulness, that gratitude is genuinely in place. Thankfulness is not just simply saying the word thank you. It's a character trait. It's an attitude about you. And it certainly is important. We're going to see that tonight. I think Thanksgiving, of course, is a day we set aside to thank God for his blessings. And when you think about it, it really is amazing to think about the people who started this holiday. I think it was a couple of years ago back when we had the bus ministry on Fridays when it was 2 and 4. I preached a message at Thanksgiving that Friday on the Friday before. About the pilgrims and the ones who started Thanksgiving. When they started Thanksgiving, they were digging seven times more graves than they were even huts to live in. The amount of death was incredible what they were going through. And yet, that's the group of people who started Thanksgiving. That's the ones who came before the God with the spirit of Thanksgiving. If anybody wanted to focus on what they didn't have, it could have been them. But what they focused on is what they did have before God. And they still recognize the opportunity that they had to be able to serve the Creator in the way that they thought the Bible directed instead of it being government controlled. And they were thankful for that. They were thankful for that freedom that they finally had. But I want to look at this briefly tonight. I'm going to cover the first two points very quickly and try and get to the third one of how we can be grateful and thankful in all things. But first off, I do want to cover there is a danger in unthankfulness. We see it. Look over in Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Read one verse here. And you don't have to turn there if you don't need to. Once I get there, I am going to go straight ahead and read it. In verse 1 it says this, and the people complained, and it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. This is when the people are complaining. God is literally feeding them every day, providing their food with manna every day. And yet they got focused on, again, what they didn't have instead of what they did have. So gratitude was no longer in place in their life. It was gone. With that opens you up to all kinds of problems when that takes place. The discouragement now set in. The complaining set in. The murmuring set in. They forgot what they did have in the Lord and focused on what they didn't have in the Lord. And that removed gratitude from their life. There's a story, it's just a story, like a legend, that said that there was an old man that had found, he had found the devil's seed barn, if you will. And in there, he noticed the different things that he would try and put in people's hearts and lives. One of the things he focused on, that the seed was more than any other, was that of discouragement. And so he asked him, why is there more of discouragement than anything else? And the devil said, because with that seed, if he can get that into the hearts, it opens the heart to so many other things that he can do to destroy their life. He said, there's only one heart that he can't plant this seed in, and that is a heart that has gratitude. A spirit of thankfulness about it. There's a danger in it and what it'll do and how it can change your life, how it can lead to that complaining, how it can lead to that bitterness, how it can lead to anger. And you see God's response to it, by the way, Numbers chapter 11, he wasn't too thrilled with that. He wasn't thrilled that they were focusing so much on what they didn't have instead of what they did have. And the Lord's anger was kindled. Listen, the idea of a thankful heart before God is so important. As we see, it does bring God's anger. You see that you miss out on God's blessing as a result. We see that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, we're not going to turn there for time's sake, but as it's dealing with a nation and a culture that's pulling away from God, the very first sin it gets into, what takes place in the mind, is unthankfulness. Romans 1:21. It's the very first thing that's mentioned as the progression, because now you're no longer, because once you get focused off that, now again, it opens the door to so much else in your life. There's a danger when unthankfulness is no longer present in your life. We can make a connection with Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that you will obviously will have the peace of God removed from your life. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. So there's a danger in unthankfulness. And I think of what it is that I am most... Look over in Ruth chapter 2 for dealing with what I am most thankful for. The book of Ruth chapter 2. One verse, verse 10. It says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? This is dealing with Ruth and Boaz. When Ruth has noticed that Boaz, that she has caught Boaz's eye. She's just amazed by that. Again, she is a stranger. Her husband had died. Ruth is her mother-in-law. They've moved back to Israel. And Boaz, who is just the leader, this is the key individual. And yet he's taken notice of Ruth. And she makes that statement, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me? I suppose one of the things that I'm most thankful for in my life is the fact that God took knowledge of me. That he had sought. When I think back of even how I came to know the Lord, how he allowed me to hear the gospel. Again, I think back to when I was in my younger years, it definitely would have been one of those families so far from anything of church-like. It would have been one of those when you drove by and as you saw me and my family, you said, there's just no hope for them. Wow, I mean, think how he's going to grow up. That would have been the case. I think living back to living in the apartment that was more of a party lifestyle. My dad was, again, getting into the radio ministry at that time in Cleveland, Ohio, a rock and roll DJ in Cleveland, and all that went with that, and nowhere near the gospel, anything of the sort. And then, of course, even a divorce occurs after that, and even less like me and my brother with my mom, who don't even have a high school diploma, and just going into another apartment from there, and just thinking, it's just amazing, though, that the Lord took knowledge of me. He was already directing that the day would come when I would clearly hear the gospel. And through the series of events, a few years later, we had to move closer to some family. And wouldn't you know it, I had an uncle that attended a Baptist church. Cousins the same age. And so I went to church. I went to church with the cousins, didn't think much of it. Initially, we're just playing a game in the back. I still remember different types of games, you know, side by side, writing it down, hand it off. They wanted to play. They weren't listening either. But it did catch my attention, the preaching, even while we're doing that. And I started to listen a little bit more. Especially when he talked about heaven and hell. And I remember thinking, you can't know that for sure. And then I was listening more and more each week and going back. And within a few months, I wanted to know. I was curious, am I all right? And I'd go back and I'd listen. I'd want to put my hand up every week and say, I need you to pray for me. I'm not sure, but I didn't. And went back still a few more months. And every week, the conviction was strong that I needed that. And then finally, we get into June of that year of 82, and the service had ended. And I told my cousin, he was next to me, and I said, I can't leave. I said, I have to go talk to the pastor. I didn't put my hand up that time either. But I left, well, I was on that side, left, went over and talked. He was standing up over on this side, and said I needed to talk to him and let him know that I wasn't sure I was going to heaven. He sat me down in the pew right where Arlene would be sitting. We sat down, and he went over the gospel with me. I still remember hearing it. I always knew Christ died on the cross. I would have told you for my sins. But my faith was never actually in that, ever. I thought it was in church, it was in baptism, all kinds of things. And as he's going through it with me, I still remember when it clicked and I got it. He died for me. I'm just sitting there and tears just start coming down. And tears are just coming down. And he knew I'm understanding. And he said, would you like to place your faith in Christ? I said, yes, I would. And boy, right there in that day, I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that God took knowledge of me. That he directed that the day would come when I would hear the gospel. So grateful for that. And now for Thanksgiving. Back to this verse. Let me take just a couple of minutes and deal with this. How can we be thankful for all things? How is that possible? This is perhaps one of the most difficult commands given to us in the Bible, is this one found in Ephesians 5:20. That we need to be thankful for all things. It's easy to be thankful for the good things, our salvation, God's word, our church, our family. But what about the hard things? What about when you do get a call from a doctor and you're told that cancer is now in your body? What about the different problems that come up, the sufferings that we endure, the trials that we go through, the heartaches that we go through? How are we to be thankful for these things? I'm going to try and be some... This certainly isn't an exhaustive means of how we're to be thankful for those things, but I do think it's some key areas of how we can be thankful in all things. So let's take a look at some of these things to try and be helped to you right here. Let's look, number one, over to Hebrews chapter 12. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. I'm going to read two verses. The other one, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it for time's sake, a couple of verses right after that. You should notice a theme here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 first. I'm going to try two different thoughts here together. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Psalm 119. I'm going to read two verses here real quick, verse 67 and 71. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So there's something here when it comes to the different trials and sufferings that we're going through, a principle that's here, how God uses it in our life to mature us. Sometimes it is because of chastening, as we see in Hebrews chapter 12, that there's a work that God does that He knows there's some straightening out that needs to take place. So He allows trials and sufferings to come in to exercise you thereby, but that is to lead to a level of maturity about your life. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It's those times that God will use those events sort of to begin to mold you, to change you. You have to go through the affliction. We could tie this in with the word patience. Patience carries the idea of endurance. If you're going to endure, you have to have something to endure. So there's a direct connection in the Bible between different things, the hard things that we go through, and how God can use it to mature us. That should lead to thankfulness. When you begin to understand how God can choose to use those things in our life. God's plan in the Bible is nowhere found that He simply promises health and prosperity to all those who are His. I mean, really, at times I'm just shocked and astonished at the verses that are used out of context to try and prove that point with proof text. Paul, when he wrote Ephesians 5:20, anybody know where he was? He's sitting in prison when he wrote Ephesians. And when he wrote the book, when he wrote Ephesians 5:20, he was sitting in prison. Just like when he wrote Philippians, he was sitting in prison. Completely different prison, by the way. Two different imprisonments. God's plan is not perfect health and perfect prosperity. For all those who follow Him, it's just gonna be so great all the days of your life, carnally wise. That's what's taught today. Paul would beg to differ with you, who was perhaps the greatest Christian who ever lived. He understood, which leads to the second thing of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's tie this in now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. One, we saw that God can use those different difficult times in our life to produce a level of maturity or correction in our life. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. Again, I finish with the example of the Apostle Paul, who was in prison when he wrote it, who understood the maturity can bring. But now, this is a whole second area he deals with here. He deals with the difficulties in his life, the trials, the struggles. Many face similar things to the Apostle Paul, what he's dealing with in 2 Corinthians 12. I think this was some type of chronic health issue that the Lord refused to take away. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Here's Paul's response to that. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he continues, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For, get this, when I am weak, then am I strong. Do you see the amazing statements that we're reading right here? Do you understand the underlying attitude that he has is thankfulness before God once he saw how God used it? I mean, he understood that not only did it apply to the thorn in the flesh, when the Lord told him, listen, my grace is sufficient for me. One, I could take it away, but I'm not going to. And because I'm not going to, though, understand this, my grace is sufficient. And he lets Paul know, this is why I'm doing it, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What a statement. And Paul understood. Listen, he knew I'm a man just like anybody else. And he was grasping by the time 2 Corinthians is written of the abundance of revelation that God was giving him. He's understanding, wow. I'm writing 2/3 of the New Testament. That's how the Lord's using me right now. And he also understood that if he allowed any pride to come in, it's over with. It's ended. And so the thorn in the flesh was humbling him, reminding him, you're just a man. That's all you are. Don't forget it. But when he saw how the Lord was using it, he not only understood now that the grace was sufficient for the thorn in the flesh, but he said, well, hold on. This is true of everything in my life. When I'm persecuted, when I'm reproached, in need, in necessity, in distresses. And notice he said, I now take pleasure in them. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That's a life that's all about Christ. In other words, another reason to be thankful then is not only does it take us to a level of maturity in our life, but it also allows you to see the necessity of strength in weakness. You learn God's grace is enough. It's only in those trials and the persecutions and the distresses and the necessities that you learn that. Thirdly, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Two verses here I want you to see. Another reason we can be thankful for all things. And again, you might say, well, you're not covering what's going on in my life. And I might not. This is not exhaustive. But again, we're not to operate on Christians based on God being able to explain things to us. We operate by faith, trusting in God's word and his commands. Now, I hope that the four are broad enough to provide encouragement that's needed. That's a good thing. But if you say it's not there, don't use that as an excuse still to be mad. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. But I would, you should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Look at the point of view he has here. He also understood another point about the suffering he was going through. Verse 29 of the same chapter. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Paul recognized some of the suffering and trials that he was enduring was for others. It was for others. As he's telling the church at Philippians, what he's driving at with that point there in verse 12 is this. He's saying, listen, I understand that even though I'm sitting in prison right now, he's telling the church, it's all right. I see how God's using this. I am able to present the gospel to Caesar's household. He understood it was through trials that God was using this to present the gospel to others. So many times, those different trying times are an opportunity to demonstrate genuine faith. You can either have the attitude like they did in the wilderness of complaining, or trust in God. One has a great deal of power in testimony. The other does not. It shows your faith to others. Again, I've referred to this before, but it always sticks out in my mind when we were in New Guinea for a couple of years and everything that we had to go through the first year. And without a doubt, time again, wondering, Lord, why in the world are you doing this? And then preaching in a market one day and watching that lady come over, that big woman who I knew, pulling people over to listen to me preach at a market. That was 5 hours from where we were, so I've been caving, preaching at the market. And she's grabbing people, and I can hear her. She was loud. Telling everybody, this is my missionary. Come over here. Come over here. And bringing people in to listen to me. And again, she never heard me preach one time herself, ever. She never came to one service I held, not one special meeting I held. I talked to her on different occasions. But she had never come to a service I held. And now she's referring to me as her missionary. And I still remember it clear as a bell. I'm preaching. She was off to this side of me. I remember it, the thought hit me. One of the reasons for all the trials is right there. That's one of the reasons. Granted, it wasn't the preaching that she heard. She saw what we went through and never left. So sometimes what you go through is for others. And that's the time to demonstrate faith in it. Don't go the way of Israel and complain and get bitter about it. Be thankful for the manna that's provided. The same thing when, and I'll be down here in just a minute. The same thing when I was in, high school. I'm not going to go through the whole story for time's sake here. Most of you have heard it. I'm just going to cover one aspect of it. You know, 10th grade year, you know, Lord working on my heart, decided to bring my Bible to school. I knew I'm going to lose all my friends. I mean, freshman year, made varsity, wrestling, had all the friends in the world, and I knew this is going to end that. I knew it. And it did. It did. And that had occurred by the next year. The Lord had laid on my heart to try and get a Bible class going in the high school, which got allowed. It was allowed. And then, of course, there was more of sarcastic. It wasn't necessarily mean ridicule, but it was still there. I mean, going down, remember all the parties was BYB, bring your own beer. They'd go down the hall. For me on Thursdays, it was always BYB whenever they saw me. Bring your own Bible. It was Bible study time, Bible class day, Thursdays. And of course, I would just laugh at it as well. I mean, it didn't bother. It wasn't anything like that. But it was still present. But then, so it would have been, 20 years later? 19 years later, that was when I got that email from a guy in high school. Never heard from one time since high school. He sent just a quick email. I have it memorized. Saved at age 31. Thought you'd like to know. Sorry for being belligerent to you in high school. Thank you. You know what the Lord allowed through a lot of that stuff? To demonstrate faith before others. You know what that caused? A spirit of thankfulness for what God allowed to take place. You see, it is possible to be thankful for all things. It's understanding that God is in control. He's still there. He knows what He's doing. He knows how to use the different things in our life. In 1 Peter, we're not going to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 14. It also allows those difficult times where it can bring the glory of God in your life. And it can. I think those are some primary principles that allow us to be able to be thankful for all things. To be thankful for all things, which is one of the most difficult commands in the Bible. But it's staying focused on God and on what you do have from the Lord and not what you don't have from the Lord. And understanding how He can use it in your life. With heads